I've recently made up my mind. I'm calling my president. He is my president, whether I like it or not. I'm calling my president a dark lord. He seems to come in like a thief in the night every time he has to make these big decisions. Every major decisions we've had has been made at so late when everyone's asleep. Everyone goes to bed thinking, okay, we're good. Wake up the next morning, the country is in a different direction altogether. Why is that?
The criminal at midnight. We can call him that. We can exactly call him that.
Yeah.
Look, I think at the core of it, I mean, he could have done it during the day, or he seems to make it at night. I'm quite not sure why is that, because I obviously think that we are sleeping, then maybe we won't, and then by the next day we'll know anyway what's going on. But I think at the core of it is that we are seeing the president right now trying to consolidate his power, right, within the ANC. That's what he's trying to do. He knows that he's going to be losing it in December. So right now he wants to make sure that within the powers of the ANC, that there are people he can trust, that there are people who are in his faction. People like Pravin Gordhan, the minister whom he just fired, he wasn't in his team, right? So, and among many others as well, even Tebisi Jonas, the deputy, he wasn't in Zuma's side. So that is why he had to purge them. So we are seeing that right now playing out. He is doing this at the risk of the country as well, because the finance ministry is a key ministry that is being watched by the credit rating agencies, that is being watched as the main sort of driver of our economy, basically, because it decides how the money will be spent. I mean, it is a key driver for our finances. It manages our finances. So, I mean, for him to take such political risk or to do these things that he's doing to consolidate his power is already having a huge negative impact on South Africa. And we are seeing that with the rand that has plummeted the whole week, that has been going down, given the fact that he was going to be fired. And I think I saw earlier, just now I was looking at the social networks, someone was showing some charts showing that since he's been kicked out, the rand continues to show that decline. So we are seeing that impact playing out, because Zuma is seeking to consolidate his political power, and the impact already, we are seeing it going it downhill, basically, in terms of the economy.
In terms of the reshuffling, though, as you've correctly mentioned, is that it looks like the president is trying to assert his power. Now, we just had a call now from Anonymous saying that, you know, for the average Joe, for the average South African, the only thing we can do as South Africans is make our votes count whenever we go to vote in the future. Now, the question becomes, though, I think, or rather, let me put it this way. Is it possible that the president is so confident that in South Africa, most people still vote out of fear instead of voting out of reasoning? I'll tell you why I'm saying that. Instead of, if you to look at the DA with the recent comments made by Helen Ziller, I believe that those comments hit the DA so badly, in the sense that there are people that base their votes based on how a political party views its citizens in terms of affirmative action. And that action by Madam Ziller, in my opinion, hurt them. And that will push other people that would have otherwise voted for the DA in the light of what's happening. They'll push them back to the ANC, because those individuals will say, we don't care if they're power corrupt and all of that. We're still going to vote for the ANC, because at least they're black.
Exactly. You see, and I agree with you. The cost has been huge for the, I mean, on the DA side, on their political comments around colonialism. Because of these dynamics that we are talking about. People are so loyal to the ANC in the sense that even though as corrupt as they are, they would rather vote for them.
But just quickly, yeah. Pumlan, is it loyalty or is it fear?
For me, I think there is loyalty, but also there is fear within it, right? I think it's both of it. Because at the end of the day, you know, I speak to my friends who, especially last year's election, and I was asking them, seeing them passionately being, you know, ANC, and I was saying, guys, you mean you are seeing what the president has done and his leadership in the ANC, the damage he has caused. And you know what they said? They said, no, it's just the president. You know, the ANC still has that brand. You know, it's a liberation movement. It has done amazing things. It's just the leadership. You know, many people take just as that. If we could change this leadership, you know, the ANC would become the party that we used to know. So there is still that loyalty. It's just that they are saying that the person who's leading them or the leadership is not the right leadership. Only if those people could move out, then the ANC would remain as it was. But there's also a bit of fear as well as to what's going to happen, right? If we change to someone else, are we still going to see the benefits that we've seen over the past 20 or 22 years that we've seen, whether it's water, whether it's service delivery in many forms, right? Education as well. So people are like, what are we going to get out of this? We've received a lot from the ANC in terms of expenditure, whether it's grants and all that. Are we going to get that if a new party comes in? So I think it's part of it. Both the dynamics, they are there, you know, with fear, and as well the fact that people, they still that loyalty to the ANC as they see it as a liberation party that got them out of apartheid and led them into our democratic society. So it's two elements, basically, the way I see it.
And to you listening at home, if you've just joined the conversation, remember you can be part of the conversation. Give us a call. Share your views. Perhaps myself and Phumlani have got it completely wrong. You have a different view on the matter. Please do give us a call, because I'm speaking to Phumlani Majozi, non-executive director at the Free Market Foundation, also the senior principal business analyst at IQ Business, as well as political and economic commentator. He's talking to us about the whole reshuffle, cabinet reshuffle in South Africa that took place yesterday, where the Dark Lord, the man himself, hey, had made changes to Midnight Man had made changes to the South African cabinet. And Phumlani just saying it does seem like he's trying to strengthen his political position, showing his muscle and opening up doors. And talking about opening up doors, there's major signings that need to be done in the next coming weeks. One of all is in regards with the whole Gupta banking saga. Now, Molusi Gigaba, there's no hiding it. He's been an affiliate of Babu Jacob Zuma. He's been in his corner as far as I can remember. That is in my opinion, of course. Now, I don't mean to demean the man. I know he's got experience, and I respect that he's gone through the University of Experience. But to be a finance minister, what experience and qualifications does he have to be a finance minister? Or is it simply that he will be the signing minister? So he won't do anything in finances. He'll just sign everything that the president needs to be signed.
Look, I mean, there's just one thing here. And this seems to be, that will be the saddest part. And when the complaint by the president about Pravin Gordhan, he was saying that he was blocking his radical economic transformation, right? That's what he was saying. And then he was saying that he wants someone who will sort of do that redistribution and do not tighten fiscal policy. Because Pravin Gordhan was the type of a person. He's sort of, even though he's someone who believes in spending as well, but he's someone who was cautious about how money is being spent, but also in terms of, he pushed very hard demanding reforms in state-owned enterprises as well. So, I mean, and Jacob Zuma, I mean, for that, for him, you want someone who will get in there and do things as he wishes, right? So Malusi Gigaba will be that signing guy, the way I see it. I don't think you'll have as much thinking around whether it's fiscally or, I mean, how would we go about spending our money, looking at fiscal constraints and all that. I think this is a guy whom he knows very well that he's going to do what he wants, right? He doesn't have, for me, to be honest with you, I don't remember. Maybe I don't know, I might have forgotten something. I don't remember Malusi Gigaba having that sort of financial experience that he could be on the driving seat of our main key ministry of our country. I mean, it's just something that surprises me. And to be honest with you, I just think it's going to play out downhill the way I see it, the fact that he doesn't have experience, and the markets are looking into that as well. You know, they will react towards the fact that he doesn't have much experience, and we'll see the rent going down as tumbling. We'll see our government borrowing costs going up in terms of bonds, and the shares will decline there, and billions will be left. I mean, will be lost in the economy. So for me, this is going to be the signing guy. I mean, there's no way he's there and he's going to do something else. Because clearly, if you are doing something else under this president, he will put you out. He did that to Nhlanhla Nene. Billions were lost out of the economy. Pravin Gordhan was the type of a guy, again, now he's putting him out. And he wants someone who's going to do what he says when he says, you see. So he will be the signing guy, definitely.
And talking to that, though, one of the big questions was asked by an SMS that came in to in the show this morning, saying, out of all of this, Why is Cyril Ramaphosa so silent? And before you answer that, according to a piece by columnist Alette Janssen van Rensburg on News 24, she says that first and foremost, the most obvious reason is that Zuma might fire him, you know, leaving him completely without influence. That's the first reason. Also, saying that Ramaphosa only has 8 months until the party decides who the next president will be. So why not wait it out?
I think that person is raising very important points. Because for me, the way I see Ramaphosa, he's in a corner, my friend. I think he's very in an awkward situation because, remember, he wants to become president of the ANC at the moment. And for him to get that vote and become the president of the ANC in December, he's got to keep up. He would have to win some support from those people who right now don't support him and could be on Zuma's side. We also need support from many other organizations. He already has COSATU on his side. He already has SACP as well. So we'll need that support. So for him right now to act, at the moment, I think we have to be honest that the most powerful man at the moment is President Jacob Zuma, right? Even though his power
that he is
right now, given the fact that he will be leaving very soon. But at the moment, he's the most powerful one. If he could do anything that Zuma really makes him go mad, he could just, you know, put in some mechanisms to have him losing his power as deputy president of the ANC or even of the country as well. And as a result, that will make him even weaker as we look into the December elected conference, right? So I think he's in an awkward situation, given the fact that he's looking for power as well and looking to become the president of the ANC. But the main factor right now is that at the moment, he doesn't have much of that power. The guy who carries power at the moment, as you saw him reshuffling the cabinet, midnight last night. It's President Jacob Zuma. So he's in a very awkward moment. It's difficult to act against President Jacob Zuma, who seems to be a very powerful force that could ultimately, you know, weaken him even further and, you know, harm the prospect of him, you know, becoming the president of the ANC in December. So that's the difficult situation he's finding himself in.
And Pumlani, just in 40 seconds, if you can answer this question, that some people are saying that maybe some of the key figures in the ANC invested in the stock market knowing that the rand was going to do something. Is there any possibility to those accusations?
I doubt on that, my friend. I don't think this is just political infighting, right? It's political infighting where people are desperate for power. And as a result, the last thing they have right now, especially the president, is their concern as to what's going to happen to the rand. His concern about his political power and his political, you know, future and all that. That is what is in his mind right now. There's no deliberate intention from politicians or him to harm the rand, but it's all about the rand is harming the process as they are fighting their political battles and seeking political power.
I hear you loud and clear. Phumzile Majozi, thank you very much for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you very much. Phumzile Majozi is a non-executive director at the Free Market Foundation, also a senior principal business analyst at IQ Business, as well as a political and economic commentator. Thank you to you at home. Also